welcome. You're watching The Buck Stops here. I'm Barkha Dutt. The big story is at the line of control in the Kashmir Valley today. The area called the Machil sector, right along the line of control, where Pakistan's brutality has seen one soldier being mutilated among three who have been martyred today. This, in fact, is the exact same sector where we've already seen this happening before. Less than a month ago, in fact, 3 weeks ago, you saw another Indian soldier mutilated in exactly the same Machil sector. So, 3 weeks, two mutilations, with Pakistan both literally and metaphorically crossing the line. The army has issued a strong statement. The Northern Army Command is vowing retribution that it says will be heavy. What we've seen happening today is actually something that is part of the tension at the line of control and the international border that we have seen since the surgical strikes. This has become the theatre of conflict. And these are the figures that we have officially. The casualties on the Indian side, 18 jawans. These include both military and paramilitary, 13 army and 5 border security forces martyred since the surgical strikes. Not that India is not hitting back in retaliatory fire. Interestingly, the Indian Army has not issued official numbers of Pakistani casualties, but we know from some statements coming from Pakistan itself, as well as statements from the Border Security Force, that these numbers of Pakistan casualties stand at least 29, with army sources arguing that this will be higher. Now, it's quite clear that the 2003 ceasefire that had more or less held through many ups and downs of India and Pakistan is now in shambles. The ceasefire is as good as dead. But is that helping anybody? Or are we now seeing a zero-sum game at both the line of control and the international border with no real winners? On the panel today, Nalin Kohli of the BJP is with me here in the studio. Also joining me, General J.J. Singh, former Chief of Army Staff. He's on the program, as is Rajiv Chandrasekhar, Member of Parliament in the Rajya Sabha. We're also joined by G. Parthasarthi, former High Commissioner to Pakistan. There he is. And with me in the studio, Colonel Ajay Shukla, formerly with the Army, now a defense analyst and journalist. I must ask you, Nalin, the inevitable question will become, we knew that there would be a theatre of conflict somewhere after the surgical strikes, and so far it has been at the LOC and the international border. But the cost has been heavy. The cost has been heavy to the Pakistanis, but the cost has also been heavy to Indians. What we've seen today is the second mutilation, the second beheading, as it were, of an Indian soldier in 3 weeks, right? We have also seen civilians, we have seen civilian casualties, we have seen injuries to both civilians and security personnel. So the question will become that, are we now looking at a zero-sum game?
I don't know how to calculate that. However, any life lost is a heavy casualty because it's the end of a universe. And, you know, there's a whole universe in terms of family, in terms of friends and others. We are, after all, human beings. On the other hand, there is the severe requirement of what you do when you have a neighbor like Pakistan and in the neighborhood that we are living. Conflict has been part of this neighborhood for almost its entirety since we've been two countries. With regard to it, zero-sum game, I don't know whether one could define it, because that would fall into the realm of those who are the experts when it comes to the military or the strategic requirements. And I think what's important is, from a political perspective, is whether the political leadership, has the depth and the, if I may say, the will to allow those who need to take the decision in terms of actual issues related to the line of control, whether they are willing to give that and, you know, give it the responsibility of that to them and give them a free hand. And that evidently seems to be a little bit of a change over what we've seen in the past. So the army, when they say they'll take any kind of action they deem fit, that will be befitting in whatever manner they deem fit, they are entitled to do so. So I think from a government perspective, the will is there to let the armed forces do what they deem. Well, do what they deem as fit, because, you know, if they are hampered, then it becomes even worse. Then if you look at it, if I use your terminology in terms of a zero-sum game, then it's a negative, because if you are keeping your hands tied behind you.
No, zero-sum game doesn't imply that anybody's hands are tied. Zero-sum
game
is me
that.
Asking a
I
question
just picked, I just
as to whether
phrase.
With the collapse of this ceasefire, it is actually to India's advantage, even with the free hand and the space available to the Indian military to respond as they believe is appropriate.
There's an additional factor. There's just an additional factor in one sentence. We need to bear in mind, also coming to the fore is, while diplomatically we've been working on Pakistan in terms of putting across at the global scenario that, A, Pakistan is a troubled state, their story and what they've been saying for decades is no longer taken on face value. But the important thing is it's becoming clear that the Pakistani army is almost behaving not like an international army, but behaving purely in terms of what you expect from military, militant organizations.
And I agree with that.
This is just not what you see from professional armies.
I agree with that. The question that concerns me is, therefore, what are the options before India? Are we looking at an escalatory situation, an escalation that has certainly taken place at the border in the LOC, but one that has so far remained confined to that area? Let me bring in Ambassador Parthasarathy. In some ways, sir, ever since the surgical strikes, there was an expectation that Pakistan would look for ways to hit back. They have chosen to disrupt the ceasefire of 2003. But at some point, we will start having to ask ourselves the question, is this to our advantage?
Barka, I think we tend to disregard history. First, let's be clear. General Rahil Sharif has posed himself as a hero. He has been very brave in fighting Sindhis, Baluchis and Pashtuns. But the surgical strike has really hit him because all his denials, the army knows what happened. And he was at the border 3 days ago. This is the first point. And he's leaving. He wants his izzat, which has been very, very badly dented, to be restored. So he will do it before he leaves on the 29th. Secondly is, I think, Barka, you should stop using these terms like zero-sum game. I think that is ridiculous. Please don't forget history. Pakistan, it was not we who asked for a ceasefire. It was Musharraf who begged for a ceasefire. I recall speaking to General Malik at that time, because we escalated our artillery firing and across border firing to an extent, particularly in places like the Neelam Valley, which became unbearable for the Pakistanis. They sued for the ceasefire, not us. But we tied it to their ending cross-border terrorism and infiltration. So it was a package deal.
Right.
The ceasefire comes in, which they asked for, which we responded to.
Yes.
In return for their ending cross-border infiltration, in fairness to General Musharraf, as long as he wielded authority, he kept that assurance he gave between 2003 and 2007.
Right.
So let's not confuse history. I think there is much space left for further escalation strategically, and let's not get into zero-sum games at this stage. Secondly, we have several other options now. 2015, 2016 is not 2001 or 2002 or 2003.
Okay, so that's interesting. What you're actually arguing, and let me take that to General J.J. Singh, is that when the ceasefire was in fact brokered, there was a quid pro quo in it for India as well. It wasn't just that India confined itself to letting the guns fall silent at the border and the line of control. But General J.J. Singh, while not discounting the options and options, strategic options and tactical options are always available before the Indian military, I am just asking you to comment on what's happening with the collapse of the ceasefire. As I said, since the surgical strikes, we have over 20 civilians dead. We have 18 Indian security personnel martyred, 13 army soldiers, 5 BSF jawans. We have 286 ceasefire violations by Pakistan post the surgical strikes, General Singh. And if this is going to get worse, what next?
Barkha, firstly, I would like to say the time has come for India to send a message to the world that India cannot be trespassed or transgressed anymore. So we have a very telling effect of what we did in the surgical strikes. Pakistan and their army never could contemplate or imagine. They were taken with their pants down. And I think that is the way we have to treat them. If they don't behave and they had given agreements, I agree very much with Parthasarathy that Pervez Musharraf was getting it very heavily against him and his army. And I have been 40 years ago a company commander in Tangdhar sector, which is overlooking the Neelam Valley or Jhelum or we call it Kishan Ganga River.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, there was a road which we made it impossible for Pakistanis to use. They had to construct a road behind the hill, spending hundreds of crores to join their extended front towards the Machhal sector. So that is what we made them do. And that's what they wanted to do, that make that road and have a ceasefire. And I can tell you that Pakistanis were on the back foot, and they will continue like this with these small incidents which they keep doing along the line of control. I think they lost the plot. They don't know what is their strategy in Kashmir anymore, the core issue. I think the core issue is poverty of Pakistani people. They should address that rather than forget about Kashmir.
But General J.J. Singh, you used a very interesting sentence. You said a strong message should be sent. Rajiv Chandrasekhar, the surgical strikes were meant
yes.
to be... I just want to bring in Rajiv now. Rajiv, the surgical strikes were meant to be that message. The fact also of going public with them
yes.
was meant to signal a toughening. If I can put that to Rajiv Chandrasekhar, I just wonder... whether with a LOC and a border that is so inflammable today, it does not suit India's interests to actually have this going out of hand. The containment of this, at least to a kind of confined area, is something that India would want as well. You know, with the focus on the economy, with this entire demonetization debate, no escalation beyond this suits nobody. But are we able to calibrate?
Barkha, I think I want to say two things. One is, I think when you keep talking about ceasefire and the situation pre the surgical strike, I think
yes.
you are forgetting that we've been in conflict and at war with Pakistan since 2611, 8 years ago,
yeah,
and before. So I think to fool ourselves and start believing that all of this started, post-surgical strikes is not to understand history and to start forgetting what happened to us. Mm. Number one. Number two, I think the question that you pose in itself is full of contradictions. With great respect to you, Barkha, I don't think protecting our national interests and asserting our right to protect our people against terrorism is in any way contradictory to the other objectives that a government has.
Agreed.
There is an economic Agreed. Objective, there is
Agreed.
Demonetization and all
I
of that.
Agree.
But
saying
the point that Ambassador Parthsarthi said, so I think in the process of protecting yourself, if the other side decides to escalate it and go and up the ante, you have to do what you have to do to protect the people of India. I mean, that is the obligation of the government of India. To start sitting in a dark room and worrying about whether Pakistan will escalate this and therefore go back to years of not doing anything, I don't think is an option that this government has or will exercise. So, I'm being respectful to you, but I think that question was framed almost like this is a choice that we have to make between economic prosperity.
Let me actually clarify. Not at all. I don't believe it's a choice. I believe the Indian state and any government has to do what it has to do to protect our people and our military. That was not my question. I think my question was that escalation. How do you contain the escalatory consequences of an action that any state takes is something that has remained a challenge. When you actually craft strategy,
remember,
and that is where I'm putting my question.
I understand your question now, and let me just give it a stab, and then others can answer this. I think we are at a very early stage of really a new paradigm and defining a new paradigm between Pakistan and India. This is just early stages. We've just had one surgical strike. This is just one effort that we have demonstrated that is a departure from the past. So now to start saying that it will escalate, of course it will escalate. Hmm. Of course, Pakistan, which has done Saurabh Kalia kind of atrocities in 1999,
yes.
will continue to do that because we've never called them to account. And so therefore, I think this is a process of calling them to account. We've just started it, and we as a nation and a people must be patient, and we must take this to the end conclusion. We must take it to its natural end objective.
Ajay, let me bring you in. And again, to clarify, my point is not a guns and butter argument. I'm not saying you can either have development or you can have a strong reaction at the border. I think, Rajiv, I have clarified that. My question is simply that can you any state wants to calibrate its escalation, wants to choose a place and time of its response, which is something the military says again and again. And it's quite clear that there has been a space given to the military to respond at will and as the army thinks appropriate. But what we're seeing today is the second mutilation in 3 weeks.
I think there are two or three important points that I'd like to make first. First of all, the LOC ceasefire is not dead. The LOC ceasefire is very much alive.
And
we are having
a
few incidents here and there. But if you go back to the pre-2003 days, and if you go back to the pre-2001 days, what is happening now is relatively low-grade violence on the LOC on a tit-for-tat basis in sectors that are vulnerable to this kind of violence. When the LOC ceasefire breaks down, if it breaks down, and I hope it doesn't, we will see a far higher level of violence.
This is the collapse of the ceasefire or even anything near it. You believe this is still in the realm of skirmishes? This is beyond skirmishes.
This is very much in the realm of skirmishes. One person dead, two people dead, three people dead are skirmishes. They are not war. They are not widespread firing on the LOC. They are also very localized skirmishes.
Yeah.
You have a firing or an incident in one place, the rest of the LOC ceasefire, LOC is by and large calm. So that point is number one. Number two, the government has not given the army a free hand to operate. No government in a situation where you could escalate to war gives armies free hands to operate. And if it does give the army a free hand...
That assumes the army would want to escalate to war. I mean, there's a presupposition in...
Let me ask. Has the government allowed the army the leeway to launch airstrikes across the border? No, it hasn't. So it's not given a free hand?
We don't know. The answer would be we don't know because we don't know what the army wants to do. And quite naturally would not discuss it on a television show.
In an army, in a situation like this, where we had so-called surgical strikes launched to punish Pakistan... to send a political message to Pakistan. We were saying on television, people like myself, even at that time in the way when there was widespread triumphalism that we have shown Pakistan, that actually only a very mild message has been sent and that it will be retaliated to, and these kind of retaliations and tit-for-tats that you're seeing are evidence that that was not really a strong message to Pakistan.
So you're saying that this is proving, this tension at the LOC and the border is proving that the surgical strikes were not a strong enough message.
The surgical strikes were by no means a strong enough message. It was not apparently directed at the Pakistan army. It was directed more at a domestic audience to show that we were taking some action. If India is now keen on sending a stronger message, it will be given the leeway to do so. The army, you will see a stronger message sent. The aim of the game is not to declare victory on television channels. It's to send a message on the ground that forces the Pakistan army to keep quiet and back off. To do that message, you have to create the assets. You have to create the contingencies. You have to do the rehearsals.
Okay, let me get
and
Nalin
you have to launch
respond.
That. Yeah. Has any of that been done?
So, Nalin, I'll start with you and then I'll open this up for the panel, because in some ways, this is where you will hear the criticism. You know, there will be people, as Ajay have said, who will say, the strikes were meant to stop this, or not stop it, but at least make the cost higher. Increase the cost for Pakistan.
First, I don't agree with Ajay's construct in terms of saying it was for a political message, because I think, you know, political leadership, and I would give that to most governments, and certainly under Prime Minister Modi, is not here to play with Indian lives and put the Indian soldier at risk for a political message. There's enough theater available for a political message to carry home and get far better dividends without losing or risking Indian lives. So there, I would reject that. The second part is with regard to the surgical strikes or objective. It is about putting a new paradigm in place that, yes, if we need to go even relatively deeper than what may have happened in the past just on the border, yes, we are willing to do that and inflict damage on a very targeted group, which is the terrorist. The third is, I think we need to bear in mind, and we forget the obvious construct, and I'm not a military expert, I've not been in the army, but what comes to me as a political person or who's analyzing the situation, is that the Pakistani army is not fighting for the last 30 years India on a conventional terms. It's fighting it through a terrorist network.
Yes.
And I'm prone to believe that the army itself is an extension of that terrorist network, if not already a terrorist network. Because what you're seeing regularly
you're saying
is...
the Pakistan army
is absolutely.
Is an extension of
terrorist network. Because you see, if you depend so conclusively and so intrinsically with terrorism as an instrument of your retaliation or of your offensive, then you have to start believing.
But Ajay is arguing that the surgical strikes were not that tough message. Otherwise, we would not see the border. So let me get in general.
But I had just one sentence more to finish on this. And they will be far more powerful.
Can I come in, Barkha?
Just give me a moment, sir. Just one sentence more. Placing myself because the mutilation and all you don't see from professional armies. You don't see armies engaging in drug trade or in arms trade or trying to promote terrorist networks in the neighborhood beyond India to Afghanistan. That's not what professional armies do.
And I'm not actually debating the Pakistan army. I think what I'm debating is what should we as a country and a nation do next. General J.J. Singh, please go ahead.
Yeah, Barkha, I have a different take from Ajay Shukla on this. To say that they were not so effective or they were not so heavy as they should have been, I think is a wrong understanding. We have sent shockwaves in the world, including to China, including to the Middle East. Everybody's sat up and watched what Indian Army did, and we didn't make a noise about it. We did it secretively. Yes, after the event, we did go public, but there is a reason. We can't compare it in the past. I've done an operation like that. I didn't talk about it when I was a battalion commander. But I'm telling you that this is a different environment. We have to expose the Pakistanis again and again for the lies and perfidy that they do. And they have hidden Osama bin Laden and claimed that they didn't know. And there was a...
So you're actually saying, sir, that while you led a similar action many years ago... Sir, sorry to interrupt you, but you're just
one
to clarify.
One minute, Barkha.
I want to clarify what you just said.
You said I've done a similar action.
What did you mean by that?
Yes, I don't want to talk about it because it was done and it was finished when I was a battalion commander 40 years ago. I'm not saying anything. I'm saying we have done these things. But one thing I want to mention, Cyril Almeida, I've quoted him. He made a statement in 2011-13 March, and he said, if we did not know that Osama bin Laden is there, then we are a failed state. And if we did know, then we are a rogue state. Now, what more can it be said about Pakistan?
So
their army is trained to tell lies from the top to the bottom. If Parvez Musharraf said lies, the people, soldiers will also tell lies. That's an army we don't want to be like. And we want to tell them that they better learn how to be a professional army.
So sir, that again, as I said, is not, I don't think we're disagreeing on the Pakistan army. Ajay, brief interjection on the larger point of that Nalin and General J.J. Singh has made, and then I need to go to Rajiv and Partha Sarthi.
So what's that larger
the day
point?
He says he doesn't agree with you, that you're actually, there's a lack of understanding in your assessment, that you're dealing essentially with a state where terror is an instrument of state policy. You can't approach this the conventional way.
If we're sitting here to debate or to bring about or to discuss the lack of ethical qualities of the Pakistan army, then I'm with them on the debate. The Pakistan army really needs a lot to improve itself about, and nobody's discussing that. What we are discussing here is whether the message that we sent to Pakistan with the surgical strikes was adequate. General J.J. Singh seems to believe it was adequate. Well, then I wonder why the Pakistan army continues to retaliate, continues to operate like terrorists, continues to inflict casualties on the Indian army.
But it wasn't a one-fix solution. There was never going to be a one-fix solution to entrenched terrorism in the deep state of Pakistan, right?
Barkha, the aim of the terrorist strike was to punish the Pakistan army.
Okay, I need to get in Rajiv and Ambassador Partha Sarthi, and I'll come back to you then. Rajiv, go ahead, and then Mr. Partha Sarthi.
No, so I, with great respect to Ajay, I think he is heavily invested in his skepticism of the surgical strike. There is nobody on this planet who believes that one surgical strike will change the mind of a Pakistan army that is invested in a certain strategy for 70 years. That is not the case that anybody is making. And if Ajay believes that he wants a magic strike out of the thunderbolt from the heavens to come down and alter the mind of the Pakistan army, then he'll have to wait a long time. This is going to be a change in the approach of the Indian army and the Indian political leadership towards the problem of Pakistan. It started with the surgical strike, and there will be many more things that the Indian government and the Indian army will do to Pakistan to finally get it to see the see what is right and what is wrong. Nobody can change the entrenched behavior of the Pakistan state that started in 1947 with a surgical strike. And to suggest that it was meant to be a wake-up call, as Ajay is saying, is really, with great respect to Ajay, I think you are, too invested in the skepticism about that strike.
Rajiv, I think you need to go and read the statements that were made at the time of the surgical strikes. It was intended to punish Pakistan and to serve them a lesson for the Uri strikes,
and they have.
So that they would not engage in such behavior henceforth. Now you're waiting for this thunderbolt from heaven. We are not waiting for a thunderbolt from heaven. We are waiting I'm waiting for a credible military action that will serve to punish Pakistan's army in order to deter them and to prevent them from acting in such. This is not difficult to understand. Try and wrap your head around it.
Okay, maybe we'll get into what.
I understand it very well. I'm only making the point.
Sorry. Rajiv, complete your sentence. I need to go to Ambassador Parthasarathy then.
I don't want to get into a tutu meme with Ajay on live TV, but I am saying that the surgical strike, to argue that the surgical strike has not sent a message to Pakistan, is to ignore the obvious.
Okay.
But having said that, I am making the point that the surgical strike is a first step in a changed approach towards the Pakistani state and the Pakistani army.
Okay, now,
there should be many more credible steps. And we will wait and see what the Indian army
does. I think I need to get Ambassador Parthasarathy in and then General J.J. Singh. Ambassador Parthasarathy, I think the argument I'm hearing from Rajiv and Nalin and General J.J. Singh is that the not only the strikes, but the announcement of the strikes having taken place was more than anything else changing the rules of the game and indicating that the Pakistan doctrine of India had changed, that in some ways we were also calling out what Ram Madhav called the nuclear bogey, where it was earlier assumed that you couldn't actually declare your military action because it would then inevitably lead to a kind of overt escalation. Have the rules of the game really changed post the strikes? Because that is what the tension of the LOC and the IB will make us ask ourselves.
We are going into tactics rather than strategy. Armies are a part of the projection of power. What you exercise in a situation now is what is called as comprehensive national power. That includes your covert capabilities. And I think what Mr. Modi said about Balochistan speaks for itself on that score.
Yeah.
It includes your diplomatic capabilities.
Yes.
The fact of the matter is Pakistan has not been able to host the SAARC summit. And we are moving away from SAARC to BIMSTEC.
Yeah.
So that looks at the diplomatic part of it. Third is the advent of a regime in the United States which is not going to pussyfoot around on radical Islamic terrorism, which is what Pakistan sponsors. So this is a part of the exercise of comprehensive national power. Let's be clear, what Ram Madhav has said, I'm willing to agree with, because primarily we've called the Pakistani nuclear bluff. Pakistan pretends its nuclear threshold is lower than it really is. We know from General Khalid Kidwai what their nuclear thresholds are, and we are acting accordingly. We are not running scared of that any longer.
Okay.
That is the importance of the surgical strike, not whether we achieved results or whether we did not.
I think that's
that is
point.
The signal which has gone. The fact of the matter is that I have seen Indian soldiers beheaded from the days of the Harkatul Jihadul Islam since 1997. We have responded. They are barbarians. They should be treated as barbarians. Secondly, the fact of the matter is that we should now realize there is still considerable space for using comprehensive national power, whether covert, whether diplomatic, or whether military. That strategic space exists. It is for the wisdom of the government on how it uses it. Yeah. Frankly, I think we have a large scope for further escalation. We are far away from what we were in 2001. And the other fact is, I would like to mention, Rahil Sharif, you must remember, had projected himself as a larger-than-life hero, killing Pashtuns, killing Sindhis and Muhajirs, and killing Baluchis. Fighting the Indian army is something else. And he has looked silly after the surgical strike. It is immaterial as to how effective or not it was. He has looked silly. It is during his tenure this is happening.
Yeah.
So take it in your stride. Let the army do its bit. Hit back when you have to. And don't let's have these illusions that, you know, everything is going to be hunky-dory. Yeah. Keep your diplomatic options open with Pakistan. We are sitting quite well. And let's not worry. Nothing is going to happen. It will escalate to levels which both sides
can be managed. Well, both sides
not,
can manage.
Both are
very
not
interesting.
Suicidal.
Let's
see how it plays out.
Can I come in, please?
All I'm trying to say is, look at national strategy. Don't look at it in limited terms of military strikes and what the military does.
Okay. General Saab, go ahead.
It's one aspect of
that. Right. I'll come back to you now, Ambassador.
No, Parthasarathy, you had enough. No, we want just not to hear you. Let us also say.
No, go ahead.
Mr. Parthasarathy, let us also contribute to the debate. You've taken 5 minutes, you know.
Okay, come on, sir. Come on.
All right. I want to mention.
You're welcome, General.
Yes, I will make it
General,
very quickly.
General.
Yeah. 1 minute. Please let me finish.
Okay.
We pontificate without looking at the geostrategic dimension. We don't know the ground and we are making a detailed analysis. Who has seen the ground? Geostrategically speaking, the line of control was drawn without realizing this could be a source of irritants later on. There is a, why you say Machal is the area where they act. Machal gives them a strategic advantage. It's in a deep forest and the Kishanganga River is on their side. The Neelam River is on their side of the line of control. With impunity, they cross into their own territory and they hit us and then they run away. So point is, please understand the geostrategic dimension. That is why they can do it. And Ajay Shukla said that why didn't they stop after what we did if it was so effective? My God, this is a wrong assessment. They have been shaken and they have understood that India will hit them even harder next time. So I want to mention that even if we hit them very hard, they still will continue these pinpricks. Yeah. From Machal sector or some other sectors which give them a geographic advantage of terrain and the forest. All this must be understood before we start pontificating and making analysis.
Okay. Now, I just want to get in Ajay and then Nalin. I think Ambassador Parthasarathy...
General, you pontificate too much for a general.
Oh.
I should. We also were told, somebody told me that you are a talkative general, you scuttled the Siachen agreement because Pakistan was told that we will not withdraw and I gave the advice to the government. Imagine if we had withdrawn from there.
You did a good thing.
What would have happened? So geostrategic understanding. And also I must tell you, I'm not saying anything, the Foreign Service has made many faults and you don't know. If you had not given Haji Pir in 1965 back, all the operations are launched from Haji Pir. It's a strategic bulge they've got. We gave it to them and you were party to it. In 1971, we had 93,000 prisoners and you gave it to them that we will give them a goody-goody treatment and they go back. They told us, I interrogated one prisoner. He told me that you Indians don't know how to kill anybody. What did he mean? He meant this, that you take out the eyes, you cut them, that is what they do. So that is the way we are treating. We should treat Pakistan very firmly.
You ask the politicians.
Let me a civilized country.
You ask the politicians
and a civilized
that question.
Army. Thank you.
Ask the politicians that question.
Okay.
Let us, in fact, ask the politicians that question.
But before that, I wanted Ajay to come in briefly. That there is a larger framework within which the strikes happened, which was the mobilization against Pakistan in the SAARC forum, the Baluchistan sort of, which was a cataclysmic shift. So it wasn't surgical strikes in isolation. And isn't there a contradiction in your argument? Because on the one hand, when I said it's the collapse of the ceasefire, you said, of course it isn't. These are incidents. If they are incidents, if they are pinpricks, as General J.J. Singh calls them, and almost routine for military people who have served there, then certainly Pakistan has not been able to very effectively counter the surgical strike. So isn't there a contradiction in your argument?
I would like to clarify that the diplomatic angle, the strategic angle, the global dimension, the isolation of Pakistan is one thing, and that can continue even without a surgical strike. But when, as a military, you launch a surgical strike on a military objective across the border, there has to be a military aim to that. Otherwise, you would not risk the lives of soldiers in doing so. The military aim in this case was ostensibly to punish Pakistan. That was what the statement said.
To increase the cost, to say it's not business as usual.
To impose a cost on the actions of Pakistan.
Yes.
But that cost, there's an aim of imposing a cost, and that is to deter further action along those lines by the enemy.
Yes.
Clearly, that has not been achieved. So the level of violence, the level of retaliation...
Well, what would have achieved that?
A higher degree of violence.
By India?
By India.
So you're arguing for greater aggression, not less aggression.
The surgical strikes were launched. They have clearly not worked in deterring the Pakistan army from continuing to impose brutality on Indian troops on the line of control. The logical military next step is to impose a higher level of violence.
For example,
you suitably choose an objective, maybe a military headquarters on that. I'm giving you a completely random example, a Pakistani military headquarters from where you know terrorist operations are being directed. You launch an air attack on that, or you launch a special forces attack on that, take out that Iraq so that there is a clear and discernible cost to the Pakistan army's actions.
But that scenario would take us to war.
It does not necessarily. We have to control the escalation.
Okay, I want to get reactions to everything we've heard. A rather irate General J.J. Singh, a sanguine Ambassador Partha Sarthi. I want to get Rajiv and Nalin to come in. Nalin, go ahead.
Well, I think I respect both of them. So therefore, I'll put it like this. If you look at it from an army perspective and not individualizing it only to, say, General J.J. Singh or to a diplomatic perspective, obviously, anyone in their area of competence will look at it from their area of competence and feel strongly about it. That's but natural. You'll ask a surgeon, he'll probably say surgery is the best way. You'll ask a general physician, he's going to say surgery should be the last option. That's natural.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think what the beautiful part about the Indian response always has been, with mistakes, without mistakes, when cohesively required, when you require everyone to be cohesive, that's diplomatic, that's military, strategic, whatever, even the general public or the political will, it does come together. And I think that's the strength of India. So I would celebrate, even if we saw that little bit of, you know, exchange between General J.J. Singh and Ambassador Partha Sarthi. Mm-hmm. Because no one would ever stand up and say that General J.J. Singh or Ambassador Partha Sarthi haven't given their best when they needed to give their best in the national honor. With regard to the issue of Pakistan, I think at the end of the day, we need to recognize Pakistan is a state heading to its own vortex. It's collapsing. And every institution there is no longer an institution of credibility. I've spoken about the army. General J.J. Singh pointed out about 93,000 soldiers. So, you know, we are going to constantly face this. Even a depleted terrorist force like the ISIS now is going to keep doing what it has to. I think, just to finish my comment, Barka, is that at our end, we will have to be nimble-footed and we will have to be away from the old restraint. Whether it is, like this government has said, let's look at the Indus Water.
Nobody on the panel has actually argued for restraint.
Well, I mean, let me just put it like this.
None of us are arguing for restraint.
That restraint may be military, that may be localized, that could be diplomatic, that could also be looking at everything on the table, like the Indus Water Treaty. So, I mean, I think
the
new normal, as Mr. Jaitley says, for the demonetization.
This is the new normal for Pakistan.
Rajiv,
and then I'll start getting last comments. I'll start with Rajiv. Yeah.
No, so I think I heard Ajay say that actually he would have been convinced if this was a bigger surgical strike, and I think he's free to his opinion. There's no problem with that. But I think what will really make Pakistan wake up to the new reality of the new real Indian position is a national resolve and a medium to long-term strategy from India that is very different from what was the strategy in the past. and that military options, surgical strikes, extraordinary surgical strikes, etc., etc., are part of the toolkit that India will exercise. This must become visible to Pakistan, and it will become visible to Pakistan only with time. As we use our diplomatic tools, as we use our economic power, as we use our trade and sanction powers, and the military power. So the new normal, to quote Nalin, will become obvious to Pakistan, has to become obvious to Pakistan, but will become obvious to Pakistan not because of one surgical strike or two surgical strike or taking out a battalion headquarters. Yeah. It will happen as a conscious change in our behavior as a nation and a people to Pakistan. And that will take time. I think we need to be patient. You should not panic, Barka. Nobody should panic. There is enough room, as Ambassador Parsati said, to escalate this. And if escalation is what Pakistan wants, we should not blink and say, we are afraid of escalation.
Again, I think today this whole program, for the first time, you totally misunderstood me. I am not arguing that, we should sit back because we are so terrified of what may come next. I am simply raising a question of what's happening at the border and saying, is it the end of the ceasefire? And if it is the end of the ceasefire, on which there is no agreement, then is that necessarily to our benefit? That is the singular only question I have. And we may say, as a country, the ceasefire is not the cornerstone of our response.
May I make one point, Barkha, please?
Yes. 1 minute, I'm letting Rajiv. Let Rajiv complete his point. Yeah, Rajiv.
I'm sorry if I misunderstood you, but I am just making a limited point. These are very early days in what is obviously a very new approach to to Pakistan.
Fair enough.
This is early days. Surgical strike is a first gambit that we have shown them.
Okay.
So I think we have to show a national resolve to Pakistan that this is not business as usual. This is a completely new approach, and we are going to stay the course, come what may.
Okay. Thank you, Rajiv. I want to bring in Ambassador Parthasarathy, and then I'm coming to you, General J.J. Singh. Ambassador Parthasarathy, first, if you would like to express the anger that erupted, perhaps involuntarily, in General J.J. Singh's comments, where he spoke about the military being let down, that, you know, just when they believe they've taken firm action, something will happen, the peaceniks in government will take over, realpolitik will take over, the bureaucrats in the foreign ministry will take over. That's what he said.
General J.J. Singh should know that I have spent time in the army, that I fought in the 1965 conflict. So I don't need lectures about how the army fights. Okay. The second point is that what I said was military power is a part of comprehensive national power. Wars are won by a combination of military power, covert activity, and diplomacy. Not one of these. And therefore, I have no argument with him that the army has done a damn good job. I'm proud of it. It's an institution I served in for 5 years, and I still stand by it. I did more for it in the Naresh Chandra committee than he would have ever done. And the second point is that we need to follow through on this. And for God's sake, I hope our parliamentarians send a clear signal tomorrow that the government should act with the use of comprehensive national power in dealing with a rogue neighbor.
Okay. General J.J. Singh, go ahead.
I can come in now?
Yes, sir.
My dear friend Partha, please listen to me now. We've had us giving our views on all geostrategic matters and political strategic matters as far as national policy making has been concerned. We have conveyed our views. And let me also tell you, there is not a quantifiable aspect which is called moral ascendancy. And that also must go to Ajay Shukla, that we have gained moral ascendancy along the LFC after this action. Not only after this action, we haven't unfolded all our cards till now.
There will be
many things to happen.
General,
I agree
with you.
Let me just finish. Partha, you said your piece. Now, I'm also saying that lot of people forecast a strong and stable Pakistan is good for us. And the one who said that despite the best wishes of USA, India, and China, the Pakistan as a nation might still implode. I wrote 4 years ago, if Balochistan goes tomorrow and something else happens, I think I could see the writing on the wall. And please read my book if you haven't read it. And I will also tell you that military people, particularly with our neighboring countries, we have more detailed knowledge of the implications of political decisions and the diplomatic decisions. We should be taken into confidence, and we will give the nation our best views and best advice. So I feel at times we have gone, we made the Sri Lanka blunder without asking the army before we went in. It was just done. And many things have happened like that. So please then get into this issue. And I'm not irate. I'm not angry despite what Barkha said. I'm effective. I'm forceful. And I've always been like that. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I'm too scared to say anything now after this. No, more seriously, I didn't mean irate. I did not mean irate in any sort of sort of judgmental way. I was saying that you made a forceful point, Ambassador Patel.
Don't worry. It doesn't matter.
But there are serious points that both of you have in fact raised. And Nalin, I want to bring you in something we haven't spoken about, because we've spoken about calling Pakistan's nuclear bluff. You had a contentious statement from the defense minister recently on no first use when it comes to our nuclear doctrine, later clarified to be his personal opinion, right? But it has, in a sense, set the cat among the pigeons.
Well, if you'd ask me...
What is this new normal about? How deep does this new normal go?
Well, I think this new normal...
And how seriously should we take the defense minister's own opinion?
Yeah, of course. I think you should
own
take the
opinion.
Yes,
not
absolutely.
His official position.
The defense minister, like every Indian citizen under Article 19.1A, is entitled to have an opinion, as do I. And in fact, I would relate with what he was saying. I think
you believe that we should review our no first use?
I didn't say that. I'm just simply
saying. You said you relate to what
you
said.
Yes. You didn't hear me. I'm also an advocate. So let me finish my entire
Barkha,
comment.
May I just finish my comment?
Sir, please. I'm making a point, sir.
May I add to that after you?
Yeah, let me just finish that. So I think the point I said, and I can relate to it in terms of what the emotions of the country are. Yeah. I think the emotions of the country is one of disgust with Pakistan. We've tried everything.
Yeah.
And I think everyone has reached this point to a large extent that, you know, I think if we need to redefine what we do with Pakistan, so be it. I mean, because 1,000 pricks is now costing Indian lives repeatedly.
Does that more include soldiers, a review of the no first
may,
you? What do you mean
may,
you
No, that's for
to
the
it?
Government. Well, I'll tell you, as I said, I relate to where that emotion comes from.
Okay, I need to
and
come
I
to
think
Ajay.
That emotion. Let me finish.
He wanted to add just to this point.
Sure.
And I know you have a column on it, Ajay, but coming to you. Yeah.
Yes, because I'm going to continue with this only.
Yeah.
That I relate to where he's coming. And if he puts his personal view out there, is there. Now, whether the government would review or not review, and when he says it's personal, that's the choice of the government.
I'm on the clock. Ambassador Parthasarathy.
Just one little point. You know, when we drafted our nuclear doctrine, the fact of the matter is Pakistan had not acquired tactical nuclear weapons. The plutonium for tactical nuclear weapons was supplied by China and their reactors. They've made tactical nuclear weapons and are threatening to use it.
Yeah.
So there is what the defense minister said introduces a measure of ambiguity, which will make the Pakistanis less cocksure about what they're doing.
Okay.
And it does not alter anything else, because I don't believe the Pakistani military is suicidal and going to run into nuclear weapons.
Okay, Ajay, you actually argue that there's a thin line between ambiguity and confusion. Please.
So Defense Minister was right.
First of all, to talk about testing Pakistan or calling Pakistan's nuclear bluff through a cross-border strike on a sort of camp in the vicinity of the border is to display military ignorance. Because that was never Pakistan's nuclear threshold anyway. Pakistan was not going to react with a nuclear strike. To a strike on the border. It was for a much larger eventuality.
Agreed.
So let's not mix up these two.
Okay.
Secondly, as far as no first use goes, that is not the issue. India, are we suggesting, or was Mr. Parikar suggesting, that we might respond to a terrorist attack with a nuclear strike? Because if he was suggesting that, I would say he was being somewhat irresponsible. The more important point is,
I need to come in on that.
Before we start getting into the realm of nuclear theology and exchanging nuclear threats, we need to have created the conventional capabilities to react and to manage situations like we have. Just let me finish this. Which we have not. When the government says, we have given the military a free hand, essentially, what it's saying is, I don't want to be bothered with this, you deal with it. But the fact is, the government has not ensured that the military has created the conventional toolkit for managing situations like this, that it has rehearsed and created contingencies so that the whole realm of nuclear threshold does not even come into the game.
I have 30 seconds left. 15 seconds to you and last word to the general.
Well, two comments. Yes. I think, first of all, to say that the government is saying, you know, we don't want to deal with it, we're handing it to the army, that's irresponsible. Because I don't think this is a government that is not actually, I'm entitled to my view, sir. So I think that I consider that irresponsible, because this is not a government that's going to say, oh, we've left it to the army, now it's your problem. Not at all. This is not something. And second is, with regard to Pakistan, I'm coming back to it. I think the new normal with Pakistan is going to be very different to what we've seen over the last 17
years. General J.J. Singh, 15 seconds closing, sir.
Yeah. I'm just saying that I would advise my countrymen and our policymakers to realize they are dealing with a nation which has made their policy based on deniability and lies. They'll do something. They did send razakars and they said our soldiers are not involved. Yeah. Led by officers and JCs of regular army. They sent them in black dress, SSG people, para commandos, got them butchered, and they left them behind because they said they are not our soldiers. Yeah. So I'm saying even Jasarat, the mouthpiece of the Pakistani Jamaat-e-Islami has said that jihad cannot be fought on the foundation of lies. So unko hi suniye, hamare mat suniye, unki suniye aur sahi kaam kariye aur be a good neighbor, otherwise your future is doomed.
We will have to leave it there, General J.J. Singh, Ambassador Partho Sarathy, and I hope you two meet for a drink and a conversation sometime later this week. That would be my friendly, unsolicited counsel.
Oh, no, we've had a drink several times together.
All right. Thank you, Nalin, Ajay and Rajiv Chandrasekhar. Leaving it there on the Buckstops here.